Wonderful. So we've been singing about a baby, but we are provoked in these moments, and part of the provocation in this narrative of the story of Christ and carols and Christmas trees and giving of gifts and presents is, who is this child that all of this stuff is revolving around? What are we to make of him? And there are some interesting passages in Luke. The author of the Gospel of Luke pays remarkable attention to the birth narrative. So I really encourage you in this season over December to jump into the Gospel of Luke and give it a fresh read and read it with fresh eyes as you begin to understand the unfolding of the story of Christ's birth. But what we see right in the beginning is that this isn't something new. It's a continuation of something very old. You see, the promise of the Messiah was ingrained in the minds of the people of God. Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, was given a promise. And his promise was that through his seed, there would come blessing to all nations. And Paul tells us in Galatians that that seed is the Messiah, Jesus. And so we are asked the question then, who is this baby? Who is this child? He is unlike any other. And there is this account that we have in Luke's gospel, which details for us some important observations that I want us to just have a look at tonight. So I want to read firstly from Luke 2, verse 25 to 35. And we're going to be asking the question, what child is this? And there's a man in the story who begins to help us answer this question. And his name is Simeon. And he was a God-fearing Jew. He was a devout, faithful Jew. And he made a prayer. And his prayer was a prayer I think that many Jews had prayed. And that was, God, don't let me die until the Messiah comes. And he gets his prayer answered because he doesn't die and the Messiah comes. And look at what he says. Let's read it together from verse 25. He says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Christ meaning Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple in Jerusalem. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, the Mosaic law, so they were obeying the Mosaic law, he, Simeon, took him up, baby Jesus, in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother, Joseph and Mary, marveled at what was said about him, their baby. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. What an amazing prayer. Simeon prays a prayer. Don't let me die until I've seen the Messiah. And it happens. It comes to pass. It comes to pass. And verse 28 is really interesting, isn't it? It's much like that Lion King moment. Remember it when Simba is lifted up and all the peoples are gathered, and there it is. It's very much a Lion King moment. Look at this, verse 28. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." So now we've got a picture. We've got a baby Jesus, and Simeon, a faithful, devout Jewish scholar, a learned Jewish man, faithful to God, is holding a baby, and he is saying that he is a savior. My eyes have seen your salvation. You see, salvation is not necessarily just a set of doctrines or a path or a set of do's and don'ts. Salvation is a person. And Simeon is telling us that this is him. Salvation is in Jesus. He's the baby. And so we get a glimpse of what's going on here. Who is this child? So I want to just see four things for us to consider. The first one is what I've called law and grace. Because what we see here is that Jesus didn't grow up in a rebellious home. Jesus had parents who actually obeyed the law. Throughout this passage and others around it, we see that they were faithful to obey Mosaic law. According to the custom of the Jewish people, there were certain things that needed to happen to baby children. They had to be brought into the temple for dedication and for naming. And there were a whole lot of other things, and the parents of Jesus were faithful. Jesus was obedient to the law under his parents, and as a teenager, at the end of chapter 2, we see that he was growing in stature and favor with God, and even he was teaching in the temple, and people were amazed at him, even though he was only a teenager. So Jesus goes from baby to teenager to young adult to adult. And throughout his life, he obeys the laws of God. Now, the thing I want us to see is that we know that in Jesus, we have the epitome of grace. Jesus defines grace for us. When you want to describe grace, it's difficult to explain it. And so when you talk about Jesus and his life and his teachings and how he dealt with people and how he loved the unlovely and how he went after the lost and he left everyone and he went after the one, that's grace. Jesus is the epitome of grace. But also in Jesus, we don't see him setting aside the law of God. We see him obeying the law of God. You see, law and grace are not opposed to one another. Laws from God are a gracious means to receiving grace. The law of God is not there to spoil our lives. It's there to enable our lives, to empower our lives. And so Jesus, as a baby, as a teenager, as a young adult, at every phase of his life, he obeys the laws of God. And the question I want to ask is, why is that important? And I want to frame it like this. So why didn't Jesus just come as an adult? Why couldn't he have just come at, say, 30? We know he died around 33 years of age. Why didn't he just come at 30? If he was going to die, if that was the big deal, to die on a cross for our sins and to take away our sin and so that we could have forgiveness, why didn't he just come at 30 or 32? Why a baby? Why go through all of those stages and phases and teenagehood and young adult? And why? And the answer is found in the gospel, the good news. And the good news is this, that we as sinners don't only need forgiveness, we need holiness. You see, salvation, if Jesus is salvation, there he is, he's holding him up. Here is the Lord's salvation. What Jesus does from birth to death is he provides salvation. And he provides salvation not only at the end of his life, but throughout his life through his perfect obedience to the law. You see, the problem that we have, that humanity has, is that we cannot obey the laws of God. It's impossible to obey the law of God. Even the Jews knew that, and they tried their utmost. You can't obey the law of God. You can try on the outside, but at least on the inside, you're undoing what you're trying on the outside. Because you might be good outwardly, but inwardly, your motives might be impure. And so how good is good enough? Well, we can't do it. But one who came for us did. Jesus did. Jesus was born as a baby because we didn't just need forgiveness through the cross. We needed holiness through a perfect life. And his perfect obedience, his perfect life of 33 years of perfect obedience, as we put our trust in him and Jesus fulfills the law, he fulfills it on our behalf and his righteousness becomes our righteousness so that we can stand before God and we can be saved. He is salvation because he is perfect obedience and he is perfect sacrifice. And we needed both. We needed both. So Jesus fulfills the law. He lives the life that we couldn't live. He did it. He did it, guys. Throughout his whole life, not one moment did he sin. Not one. Not in deed nor motive. Not one. For 33 years, perfect obedience and then a perfect death on our behalf. Law and grace. The next thing we see here is that Luke speaks a lot about the Holy Spirit in this particular passage. And we see the coming together of Word and Spirit. Jesus was prophesied, the Messiah was prophesied numerous times in the Old Testament. Isaiah's prophecies are saturated with depictions and predictions of the coming Christ. And we see in chapter 1:15, while he's still in the mother's womb. Is it me? Okay. In verse 41 of chapter 1, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and she sang. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Chapter 2, verse 25, Simeon's own story. The Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not see death. The Spirit then leads Simeon to enter the temple to see Jesus. What is Luke trying to tell us? What Luke's trying to show us is that the Spirit of God and the Word of God work together to point us to the Son of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God work together to reveal the Son of God. It's a wonderful picture. Simeon is a devout Jew. He knows the Scriptures. He knows the Old Testament. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And the Word and the Spirit lead him to Jesus. That's what the Word and the Spirit does. Beautiful picture of what the Word and the Spirit does. It leads us to Jesus. The third thing we see here, third combination, not only is it law and grace, Word and Spirit, but it's Jew and Gentile. Did you notice this? That Simeon, when he gets excited and he responds to the salvation that he's holding, he says this in verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And so this child, what is this child? He is the coming together of Jew and Gentile, the coming together of nations, of peoples, that in the body of Christ, which is now just an infant, in this little baby body, will one day be a body that will fill the earth. The body of Christ, which now in this particular part of the story is just a little baby. But Simeon sees, he sees the future, he sees nations, he sees Jews and Gentiles together in one body. Incredible. Finally, number four, Simeon then speaks directly to Mary. And he speaks about fall and rising. Verse 34, he says, "This child," who is this child? "This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. Jesus will be opposed. This is what got him crucified. He was radically opposed. The Pharisees and the Jewish leaders and the Roman soldiers, they all opposed Jesus. This is what led him to his death. He was opposed. And then he says this to Mary, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Jesus will be pierced, but at the same time, your own heart will be pierced. And I think there's layers of meaning here. I think there was a sense of sorrow. I mean, this, after all, is his mom who will witness this brutal crucifixion of who she now knows is not just baby Jesus, but the Son of God. But also she will be saved. Her soul will be pierced in the sense that it will be broken and humbled, a contrite heart that has faith. Imagine having faith in your own Son, who is the Savior of the world. But notice that he says to her, this child is appointed for the fall and rising. In other words, he's saying to Mary that how every man, woman, and child, how they respond to Jesus will determine whether they rise or whether they fall. Jesus is the turning point. This baby. Simeon's point is you cannot be indifferent about him. There's two options. Either you're going to rise through putting your faith in him, there will be salvation, or you will fall. Jesus will either be to you a stone of stumbling, and you will stumble over him, and you will fall. Or he will be to you a cornerstone, and you will build your life upon him, and your life will flourish. Jesus is this cornerstone. Jesus is the stumbling stone. You will either rise or you will fall upon Jesus. If you reject Jesus, you will fall. If you receive Jesus, you will rise and have eternal life. But don't trust my words. Let's read Simeon's. This child. Who is this child? Simeon tells us this child, baby Jesus, is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. They'll be thinking, oh, no, surely not. Surely not. Surely no one. I mean, if he's going to be the king, if he's the Messiah, surely no one's going to oppose him. But we know how the story goes, don't we? They didn't then. And Mary's trying to go, but how can my soul be pierced? Well, he will be pierced, and so your soul will be pierced. And so who is this child? Well, yes, he's the son of Mary. There's no doubt about that. But he's not just the son of Mary. He's the son of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight. We thank you for the gospel narratives that remind us of baby Jesus. But we come quickly to realize this is not just any baby. This is not just any child. This is a child unlike any other. We see witnesses who've gathered together, gospel witnesses that are bearing testimony of who this child is. He obeyed the law perfectly. And then he was crucified. That doesn't happen. In many ways, it's a remarkable story. The most innocent person who ever lived gets crucified. But we know that the reason is for, according to plan, that he would die for our sins, not for his own. That he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Not for his sin, but for ours. And so tonight, Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming to earth as a baby and growing up. And in growing up, you lived the life that we couldn't live. Thank you that you obeyed on our behalf. That you fulfilled the holy law of God on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, because we know all too well that we are horrible at keeping your laws. We struggle. We can't do it. And so we thank you, Jesus, you did it on our behalf. And through trusting in you, Jesus, and in your works, not in our good deeds, but in your good deeds, in your performance, Jesus, we are saved by your perfect life and your perfect death. And so we thank you, Jesus. We worship you. There is none like you. No one would do this. No one else. What a plan. What a remarkable plan. And so we thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.